The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Sure, all I've got to say is yes, like Rolien, there's a lot of news coming out of your part of the world.
It is a whopper of a day. And I must say, I was really enjoying hearing the audience feedback on some of the big issues taking place. And I have to concur, you know, peace with the Palestinians, as we've learned over the last 72 years, is a process. At the moment, not much of a process. But President Trump and his administration, like them or know them, have certainly moved around the pieces on the board. And it's going to be very interesting to see how we proceed from here. So should we unpack it?
Please, go for it. Can't wait.
Okay, let's start. I mean, it always happens over a weekend. And are we going to see a third weekend in a row that there will be normalization? In my dreams, yes. However, it's Rosh Hashanah, so we're going to be elsewhere busy. But this weekend, Friday was quite exciting because we got little tidbits that we could expect a major announcement from the Trump administration. So, of course, all of us journalists were quite curious, what could this mean? Who could this mean? And, of course, the assumption that somebody else is next to normalize. And then we heard that Bahrain would be joining the signing session at the White House, which will take place tomorrow. And very, very exciting images coming from Ben Gurion Airport last night of the plane for the delegation with the flags of the US, Israel, United Arab Emirates, and now joined by Bahrain. Also very important, even though many people think that these are small moving parts, they are still very, very significant, is the issue or the what's the English word, is the almost the blessing of Oman, which is another Gulf state, for this agreement. So we're starting to see the Gulf states being very, very much in the open of their endorsement of these agreements. Another major development is the announcement from the Trump administration that they are looking at direct flights from Israel to Morocco. Very, very significant. There are over 1 million Israelis that can trace our ancestry back to Morocco. You know, the interesting story there of the Jews of Spain, Portugal, having to be exiled, the Jews thrown out of their, you know, their homes in Arab countries. Very, very interesting there. As we have expected, we will be having a day of rage from the Palestinians tomorrow. And they have been extremely vocal over the weekend, giving their condemnation and accusing the Arab states of betraying them or stabbing them in the back. And what has been interesting is looking at the Gulf media, a lot of it is in English, and looking at the type of rhetoric we're hearing coming from the Gulf states and seeing this very much on social media. And you get the real impression that not only are Emiratis and now soon to be joined by Bahrainis very, very positive and very, very happy about the peace developments, very supportive of these decisions, but a growing frustration and an anger that what they see as the Palestinian attitude. Many of them saying, we have been funding you for years, and this is what is happening, is you have squandered the funding, yeah. And at the most immediate opportunity, you make these accusations. In Gaza, effigies of the Bahraini king burnt, the Bahraini flag defaced. And, you know, this is the same kind of imagery we saw when the Emiratis made the announcement of normalization. Now, you have to understand that Arabs are very, very proud people, and it's very, very personal, an attack like this on their king and on their flag, that this is very, very insulting in their culture. And this is why we see these kind of images when they want to make a statement against America or Israel. Now we see with Bahrain and the UAE, the burning of flags and the defacing of effigies.
What I do find interesting, Rolene, is that the Bahrainis haven't seemed to accept it with the same enthusiasm as the UAE has. And apparently the majority population is in fact Shia, whereas the royal family is Sunni.
Well, we're always going to have these divides. In fact, one of the reasons that we see these alliances being formed is that we have this division, this polarization of power in the region. Iranians who are Shiite and their supporters, including the proxies that they support, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Sunnim. What is interesting is that when the UAE made this announcement, there was a second major announcement to say they have now abolished the boycott of Israel, the Arab boycott of Israel. With the Bahrainis, they had abolished that years ago. But there is a thriving Jewish community in Bahrain. We saw the overtures towards the middle of last year with the Manama conference. But a great moment for the region, a great moment for Israel and these countries. And, whether you stand very, very much along party lines in America, a very, very important moment for the Trump administration.
Let's bring the news a little closer to home and talk about the Iranian plot to assassinate Lana Marks. No relation, I presume, the U.S. ambassador to South Africa.
Well, sadly, I cannot claim Lana Marks as a relation. But what I can tell you is Politico, which is a news magazine, investigative journalism, they have uncovered a story of an alleged plot by the Iranians to assassinate Lana Marks. Lana Marks, who is South African born. In fact, she's Jewish. She speaks fluent Xhosa and fluent Afrikaans. She was quite a famous high-end designer of luxury clothes and bags. You all know I do love
some
bags.
Okay.
And we're not related. Can you believe it? Okay. But she is reputed to have a very good relationship with the U.S. President Donald Trump, which is why she was possibly sought as a target by groups that are operating in Iran. And what the report goes on to do is to expose that there are Iranian factions operating in South Africa, albeit clandestine. Clandestine, maybe not so much clandestine anymore, but she is aware of the plot. We do know that everything has been done to keep her safe. But one of the reasons that they have cited is revenge for the drone strike the 3rd of January that killed the Iranian general Qasem Soleimani, who was one of the heads of the Quds Force of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. So an incredible story that has been uncovered, of course, getting coverage in the South African press. It's gotten a lot of coverage here in Israel. Some people have messaged me today, have we heard from President Trump on this? We haven't heard from the president on this particular story, but I'm sure
have we heard from
we
South
will
Africans
in the days to come.
Have we heard from South Africans?
We haven't heard from Durko as yet, and I would imagine that when there is a threat to a foreign dignitary, whatever is discussed is probably embargoed and not for the public opinion, but it has had coverage in the South African media.
And then, Rolene, this awful story of Israel entering a second lockdown. That just must be the worst news possible with Rosh Hashanah just only days away.
It is hard. I must say that the mood here in Israel is one of immense frustration and anger. And the health ministry announcing today that if we get the numbers under 1,000 new cases a day, then they will consider maybe shortening the lockdown. But this is a very, very tough lockdown, especially as we enter these very, very sacred days, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and including Sukkot. Anyone who's been to Israel during this time knows how festive it is, knows how much we live together with our families. We are not allowed to gather with our families unless you are within 500 meters. And it's also been advised elderly people should not gather together.
Rolly Marks,
very difficult.
There's so much news coming out of Israel. We could have done a triple the time today, but we just don't have it. So we're going to leave it there. Just looking, let's talk about the Jewish terrorist tomorrow, amongst other things. And, as always, Rolene, thank you.
I will speak to you same time tomorrow.
We will indeed.